Thanksgiving. Yeah, Becky, good job. I'll be a living with you. Sanctuary before you. Sing it unto him now and think about him. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, a house pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. A sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3, where we read this morning. We'll try to continue our thought. Glad to have everybody with us. Glad to have our sister back there. The brother was here this morning, Brother Forster, and come find out, I used to ride to work together with his brother going to Doraville years ago. And I hope so. It won't be no strangers to us. We all know each other. If he don't know anything about it, he can go to Benny, and Benny will tell him. But, you know, glad to have him, and glad to have Sister Forster. We always say when you come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you're part of us. So then don't expect another welcome later because you're just part of us. We just all, we don't have anything we join. I was born into the Dale family. I don't have to worry about it and all like that. They might not like me, but I'm still part of it. But we're in the body of Christ, and so we just do all things that way. Amen. Just remember that. Remember the Lord willing, now this coming Wednesday, Brother Ernie Villanueva from Washington State will be here with us, preaching for us the night service. So just remember that and pray that the Lord would guide him. And then Thursday afternoon, about 8 o'clock, we'll be leaving, he and I, the Lord willing, from Atlanta to go to Brazil to be there for a couple of weeks, ministering and just having a good time in the Lord with the saints down that way. So just keep us in your prayers. It'll give you something to pray about. You know, you can say, oh, we just pray for Brother Dale. And so just keep us in your prayers. Because, you know, going like that, you don't know where you're going. I'll have to be dealing with an interpreter. And it's going to be hard for an interpreter to interpret Southern drawl. It'll be hard, but I'll probably come back speaking proper. You know, maybe a little better, you know. I doubt it, but we'll see. But let's just pray, and then we'll read our scripture, because we always want to pray before we read the word and ask the author for permission to actually even read, let alone to be able to speak about what he said. All right. Father, have your way with us now, and just bless each one. Keep us in your love and guide us in your grace. As we read your word, you speak to our hearts from it, and keep us all in your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just read, because we've been down on it, we'll just read verse 4 and 5 to pick up our thought. Revelation 3, verse 4 and 5. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, and before his angels. You'll be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, our brother and sister, I noticed this morning he was mighty, you know, somebody comes in new, especially walks in the front door, you wonder, what are they and what are you supposed to be saying? And I noticed he was kind of going with us and all, so I figured he must have heard of the message, because he didn't reveal when I said Brother Branham, so, you know, or the prophet. So, you know, we're all in the class together so we can continue on our thoughts and everything on what we're trying to bring. Now, I told you I'm trying to speak to you about the book of Revelations to get you to see the book of Revelations is talking to you personally, to you. See, It's the one book in the Bible delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, his own self, to John to speak to the bride. But then when it does, it's speaking about the bride, because in the book of Revelations, you find nowhere the Lord Jesus is associated by himself. You find him even as he's coming back riding on white horses. There in Revelations 19, that there's people riding with him. See, once he united himself on the day of Pentecost with the believers, then he's always been with the believers and no separation. And see, then the book of Revelations is not a book that's a problem to read, because the prophet has given us the correct understanding of what we needed. Most of it, as I said this morning, didn't need to be interpreted or anything. It just needed to be read outside of our Baptist glasses, Methodist glasses, you know, or whatever, Pentecostal glasses, to where, meaning that that's the way we read, you know, from our previous understanding. And to just let God speak to our hearts, see, from the Word. And then we'll find ourselves. Because that's the one thing I want you to do. The prophet said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, the purpose of her, he said, she'll be gone. Why? Because it's recognizing who you are. He preached a message called Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. Everybody says, well, that's just recognizing Brother Branham. Well, that's just part of it. That was the one to introduce. That was the prophet to come to introduce the message to you and I, because we're the message. As I've always told you about Joshua, it was not the words of Joshua that spoke to the walls of Jericho. That wasn't that. It was the people that stood around the wall. Joshua was probably up on the hill somewhere looking, because the general didn't generally go with his, you know, the commander didn't go, like, he'd stand up and watch them go through, you know, and he done give the orders and it's all done over with. You know, he didn't have no problems. The Lord done told him what was going to happen. It was just the people had to get the revelation of who they were. So it took about 7 days of them walking. You know, and finally, 7 times on the last day, they finally figured out, hey, if Joshua's not down here with us, we must be going to be the ones that handles this thing. So they just begin to shout. And that wouldn't, I don't believe they'd begin to holler, hey, 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 I believe, and try to get you to see. When they said the same thing that Joshua said, that Moses had said, the walls come down. And that's what I'm looking forward in the end time, is looking forward to the walls of death and things to be destroyed by the bride of Jesus Christ, because 340 Church Age Book, I believe that's right, under her messenger, she will be the final voice to the final age. And I believe that. We are the last immorphy of God. We are the bride of Christ. There's no scriptural promise that the corporal body of Jesus Christ is going to be here in the end time. We meet him in the air. All right? See, then there won't be a corporal body, and then we'll come back in the millennium. He'll be in a corporal body. But we will be there also, you know, with him on honeymoon. So then it's a wonderful story, but looking at the positive side, like I said this morning, I want to make that point, that I'm not preaching this. I preach to you Revelations 1 to get you to see that in Revelations 1, God showed the bride already out of here, gone in a rapture and gone to sitting up on the white throne with him to judge all the others. Not to stand before the white throne as we used to think. No, that wouldn't be it. It's to go to the white throne, to sit on the throne with him. Because that's the thousands, kind of 10,000, see, that were sitting with him in the book of Daniel. Alright? See, then, being that's showing that, then he drops back to the church ages to show how that we come through these things. Drops back to show us what we're doing in life. But he doesn't deal that much with rebuking. Each age gets pretty well a rebuke, because like the first, thou hast left thy first love. Then they'll say, you got a name that you're living, but you're dead. No. But it's always the first verse is a salutation, a greeting, a revelation about Jesus Christ to be revealed. The one standing in the midst, you know, and then the seven golden candlesticks, the seven spirits, the things like that, which is not seven spirits, no more than there are seven gods. It's God in seven manifestations down through time. All right. See, in doing that, each age gets a special designation. And when we get over to the seventh church age, he's the beginning of the creation of God. And the prophet said, we're the continuation of that creation. So then we begin to see that we are actually part of. The book of Revelation is revealing Christ in the church. Not just revealing Christ, you know, and not just revealing the church. Then either one of those, you would have a problem. But it's revealing Christ in the church, showing where you and I are living and where we're walking. See, then we can see that it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to read the Word of God without wondering what does this mean or what does that mean or, you know, what is this or what is that. We can go back and read the Bible and see. We can go back and read the prophet's message and see. But now I've always been to one thing with you. I don't believe in a one-sided view. I don't believe in trying to just bring you something on a one-sided thing. I'll give you the most I can. I'll give you the understanding the best I can. I'll give it to you like this, that Brother Brown said, you always was eternal. Then he turned around and he said, but you begin eternal life, your daughter. Now the Holy Ghost has got to put those two together without a contradiction. And you can see that the eternal life you receive at the altar into your possession was the eternal life that was before the world, before it ever started. So it's an impartation of life, but we must receive it. See, that way you got a revelation, and not only a revelation, you got a possession of something that's taking place. All right. So then there's where we're standing now, looking at it. Now, what I want to talk about this afternoon is something that's been building up for a while. And I ask you to read in the Church Age book from about page 264, 262, something like that, to over to 284. And if some of you don't have a Church Age book, Brother Harris, would you get some Church Age books back there? There's some in Brother Joe's office. And if you don't have a Church Age book, we're going to do a good bit of reading probably this afternoon. So if you don't have a Church Age book with you, I ask you to bring them. But if you don't have it, raise your hand. And we'll be glad to bring you a Church Age book so you can read. Now, if you don't have a Church Age book, take it home with you and keep it. It's yours. Now make sure and give the sister one too, because we don't want to read. But if you don't have a Church Age book, take it with you. But if you do have a Church Age book, don't pile them up at home. We're giving these out to people that on the internet that send forth and needing books and things, and we've got it for them if you've already got a Church Age book. But if you don't, take it home with you and read it, because that's what we're trying to do, is to get you to read the message. All right? Because that's one thing I believe in. I set my heart when I come into this message years ago that if I was going to believe that God sent a prophet, then I wasn't going to continue with my ideas about what I thought it was supposed to be. I was going to lay all of that down and read what he said. See, then when I began to read what he said, I found the Christ that he was talking about. But if I'd have kept my own ideas, my own opinions, my own beliefs, I would have never found Christ. And I'm one that can tell you about it, because I was a deacon at 23 years old, so you know they must have thought a lot of me in a Baptist church that didn't ordain deacons till they were in their 40s. So they must have thought a lot of my ways. I tried my best. I tried to live right. I was teaching adult Sunday school classes and things, you know, the deacons and elders when I left the church. So they thought a lot of me back there. You know, I'm getting, one point is, I read and I prayed and I studied my Bible. But then when I heard of this message, I just laid everything down of any thoughts I had and began to read what that prophet said, but I always kept my Bible laying right beside of it. God will not get upset at you for reading something Brother Brown says and say, Lord, I can't understand. Let me read it in the Bible. He's very tickled to you. When the prophet would come and the Holy Spirit, he said, would reveal something to him, he said, I'd spend the rest of my day checking that out in the Bible. Well, you know, God wasn't mad at him. Well, I told you now. You know, no, he wasn't mad at him. He said, that's a son after my own kind. Because he's checking it out to see if I'm right. He was very pleased with his child to be able to see that and to know it. All right. But now, what we want to deal with, and I told them to just put Bible to this morning because the way I had to change things around just a little, and I really enjoy the reading the prayer requests, because I can hear what's, you know, said back there, and we won't be blank on hearing it, you know. But I want to speak about four classes of people. This will be message number 19 that we are on the book of Revelation. And I want to speak on four classes of people, because that's the only way you can understand the Bible. Now, what did we say this morning? What is the book of life? It's the Bible. The Bible is the book of life. And within the book of life, you have the eternal life section, speaking of eternal life, showing eternal life and what it's all about. Then you have a section that would be known as the book of life. All right? And if your name is not in that, you got a problem. Even though you say, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Well, then how did it get into the Lamb's Book of Life if you don't come to earth and it be put on the Book of Life first? Because the prophet said the way you, and we'll read it in a minute, the way your name become on there is because you become to a religious order of sanctification. All right? But see, then that's two sections. Now, the third section is, it speaks of those who can have their names on the Book of Life and can have their names removed and will be removed, which will be like Judas and the ones like that and Pharaoh and things. You know, the different ones. There's maybe not Pharaoh, but Judas. All right? Then the last group is their names were never written anywhere. And that's what it says, the names of the book of, and how does it say it, Revelation 13, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. All right? So then there'll be people that their names were never written nowhere. But not saying the prophet said that there wasn't a record made, because there is a record made. That's why in the book of Daniel 7, the white throne, in the book of Revelation 20 is the white throne. Both of them covers books and then speaks of the book of life. So the prophet said that's the book of the sinners. That's a record of you and our life. God is very specific about what he does. He doesn't have to one day say, well, I think you done so-and-so back there. We'll try to remember. No, he just pulls up the record. The prophet said it in a way of understanding to us. He said, when you are born into the world, he said, there's not much recorded about you. We said, when you reach the age of accountability, I don't know what that age is. There could be people that, you know, are mentally retarded, etc. It could be 90 years old and still just be the age of accountability. You know, you read, I read the other day where somebody was like 60-something and they said they had the mentality of a 3 or 4-year-old got lost in the woods somewhere, you know. But see, it's up to God about the age of accountability. But it's when you become to the place that you realize you're lost. There's your age of accountability. All right. See, then when you reach that age of accountability, he said that record starts. All right. We got movies. We in the Dales, we love to kind of run the video camera sometimes and watch the family do things. And, you know, all of our Christmases are videoed. You know, we sit down and we change gifts and have a good time in God, you know, and but it's all videoed. So we like to, that way we can go back later and look at it. Well, see, if that could be that much, you know, Marilyn Monroe could come up and say to the before the Lord, oh, I've been pure all my life. He'd say, well, what about this movie? I'm just trying to illustrate, right? See? God doesn't have to have that, but he uses those things because on that record, see, is your life. But now here's the difference between a natural movie and God's movie that he makes. Because on a natural movie, I've seen what you've done. You know, right? I see what you do. All right? But you go repent before God, he doesn't see what you do. I still see what you do, and I still remember what you've done. Right. So it's a little different, isn't it? I just want it to be done, because he said, when you repent, at this clay, cleans that slate clean. But from then on, you're responsible, because future home, page 15, he said, that doesn't do anything to the future. Just chopped off your past. Right. You got to go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? See, then that, it goes on and God records. Now, and then when you become a Christian, a born-again Christian, your prophet said only Christians have sins. All right? That's your prophet's word, so you argue with him. You say, oh, I got born again. Since I got born again, I ain't had no sin. What are you talking about? When your prophet said he sinned every day. That's what he said now. So you got your great revelation, but you better be careful. Make sure you got it in the right order. The seed remaineth in you, and that seed can't sin. There's no way that eternal life can sin that's within you, but that body and spirit you're living in has got problems. All right. Let's see now. We'll just go on then. That's why the prophet said, if we don't get it straight, we'll have to straighten it up somewhere. And I'm not talking about eternal life now. No way. Uh-uh. I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm talking about just the problems we have as humans. Our lives. Why? I'll just ask you one question and get off of it. Why would God, if your new birth takes care of everything against you totally, period, why did the prophet have to give a grace of marriage and divorce? Okay? See, he had to give a grace of marriage and divorce. And you and I must accept that. Even if you say, I never was married to nobody or messed up in any way. How about being married to the devil? How about your old devil father? You're the one you were closer kin to according to the book of Ruth. You were born kin folks to the devil. Married to him. Have you ever asked God to forgive you of being back there in that denominational systems? Or even your own denominational ideas you still have today? You might ought to ask him. No, I've been pure. Well, okay. That was the kind Jesus faced in his day, and he said there wasn't nothing he could do for them people. Because he said a righteous man don't need a Savior. Wasn't that what he said? It's one who realized they were sinners. All right. But now let's continue on. See, four sections. All right. Now, section means a division based upon like a grade or a quality. You know. All right. It means like a group sharing the same economic or social status. In other words, in one book, but yet sharing being meaning more. All right, so that's what the word class means. See, we were talking about yesterday, Joyce and Danny, or Joyce's class reunion's coming up. I'm not going to say which number it is. Third. Uh-oh, Danny did. But, you know, I told her the only class I had was the devil's world. Because I quit school when I was 15. I didn't get nothing, you know, no education. I'm sorry about that. I wish I had, but, you know, it was just a different world. But listen, see, there's different classes in school. So everybody in the building would have a basic different class you were in the basis of what year you graduated, etc. So that puts you in a different group, but yet you come out of maybe the same school, etc. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see about the Bible. The Bible is divided up into sectional formed or shows things, maybe is a better way of saying it, that it shows eternal life. Then it shows a religious order of people. Then it shows people like Judas that their name can be taken out. Then it shows some that was never even religious enough to be accounted anywhere. So they're just, as the Bible would speak of us in our way of saying it, just plain cannon fodder. Because H2O is the greatest explosive there is if you can get it down to the position to where it can be ignited. And that's exactly what you and I are made out of, water. The elements. But all right, now listen. We read in verse 5 there that I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So the prophet will find, and I won't read all of these because it'd take too long to read the entire thing. I ask you to read it. I'll just try to pick some things going through. The prophet said it like this. He said, it's needful that we study this to think about a name could be removed from the book of life. See, but he said about it and talking about Judas and them, when they came back, and we'll read these things in a minute, but I'll state them where they'll be in your memory. And the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, the devils are subject unto us. We saw Satan fall like lightning. And what did Jesus say? Rejoice not that you saw these things take place, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that was Judas Iscariot. That was all the others, you know. And I gave you the quotes back because I'd given them to you before, where the prophet covers on 11, I gave it to you on 119, paragraph 119, works his faith expressed, where the prophet talks about how that the two books, one leads out to the other. All right, you remember that the other night? Faith, Works His Faith Express, 1965, 11:26. Just like last night speaking, when you get the book, you're going to see maybe a little confusion there of what I said. The two books of life, it's the same book. But one of them is your natural birth, the other is your spiritual birth. One leads out to the other one. And that's what I said. When you're in this world, we go on down, just read the next one, then we get the point. Number two on the notes I gave to you. Questions and Answers, COD, 1964, 8:30 in the morning service, which is paragraph 125, question 295. Sanctification is where your name goes on the book as a believer. Your word, your name is wrote in His blood. See, sanctification does that. You come up, then when He's trusted you up to this far, and then come up and you say, well, would He know it? All right. So sanctification, your name goes on the book. Now, according to the Bible, your name was written, and the prophet verifies, in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But now we're talking about the Book of Life. And like I said a moment ago, and I'll say again, and I've said it many times, if your name is not in the Book of Life as a part of a religious order, then you have nowhere to start from. And you can holler and scream, you always was eternal, whatever you want to, but I believe in eternal life at the altar. I believe in justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then that's you receiving the life of Jesus Christ, and until then you're doomed, lost, and on your way to hell. The new birth is the only difference, because that gives you the life of Jesus Christ. All right? See, then doing that, see, your name goes on the book, and we'll read in a minute that even Judas's name was in the book because he was part of a religious order centered around the worship of God of that day. Now, not everybody, not every church member is their names written in the Book of Life. Not everybody that goes up and shakes hands with the preacher, cries, repents, whatever, and don't put their name in the book. Your prophet said sanctification is what puts your name in the book. All right? So you can see Judas walked with Jesus through justification, believing on the Lord, through sanctification, the washing of the water of the Word, had his name written in heaven, had a part of the ministry, the Bible says. You know, didn't say he was just the devil all along or what he was doing. He had a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ that he gave to the disciples. Gave just as much to them, to Judas, as he did anybody else, you know, in the ministry of Christ. All right, but he didn't go up to Pentecost to receive the new birth, so he proved what he was. But the other 11, see, that was left out with him, they went to Pentecost, got the Holy Ghost, and went forth as the children of Almighty God. But Judas went and hung himself, proving there was something wrong with him. See? But at least, as I said this morning, he had enough gumption about him to hang himself when he found out he'd rejected Jesus Christ. Instead of running back to the group and say, oh, brothers, you know, let me just get back in the group with you, and I'll be your treasure again. I'm not one standing up for Judas. I know what he was and what the Scripture says about him. But I'm just truthful, too. I keep saying it because I know people don't like it, but Judas, what did he do? Compare that with what Peter done. When Peter, the Bible says, cussed, counted him not even worthy of being what he was. Not because he used vulgarity, but because he didn't account Jesus Christ to be who he was. I don't know him. I know nothing about this man. How much worse could it be? Showing you how far it would go. God, as I've always said to you, I try to get this point across. The children of Israel left Egypt, and the Bible said they sinned 10 times. It records them 10 times. God still said, let's go. We're going to the promised land. But when they got to Kadesh Barnea, the judgment seat of the world, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they said, we can't do it. That unbelief is what put them in the wilderness for 40 years. Not what they were doing, it's their unbelief. That's what will put you and I in hell too, is our unbelief. So then God help us about that part. Where we can try to walk in the truth. Alright, but now let's get to the point of what we're talking about. Four classes of people. So now you follow with me, I'll try to give you the page number, and I'll try to, and this is on the internet system, Brother Joe back there. I thank God for him every day, more every day. Like Brother Gary Atkins said the other day, he said, if we could just take Brother Joe on the internet and Brother Dale in the preaching, said, and just do away with the rest of us. Now you have to argue with him about what he meant about it. He said, because at least the message is getting out. You know, I think that was his point. You know, but see, we appreciate Brother Joe, appreciate his wife helping him, working, and appreciate Richard and all the work that anybody does around here. We thank God for you. But to think about the world and that we can send the message around the world off of just a little old place in Lula, and that people can hear the gospel truth. I like that one sent in the other day. He said, Brother Dale, I like your southern drawl and your way you speak straight. I said, well, thank God. Somebody heard it. All right, but now listen. Let's go to 265 and just start reading just a little bit. And that's what I said. Now I'm going to just read here and yonder through it. So follow with me. I'll try to give you the words of the paragraph, okay? I'll say bottom paragraph, word so-and-so, and that way we can all stay up with each other, okay? 265, which is the last paragraph, and it says, and he that overcometh, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Once again we come to the most difficult portion of the word. This verse, superficially regarded, will be used by both Arminians and Calvinists to suit their purposes. Now, the best I know about superficial, it just means they're not right about it. You know, that's the best way of me saying it. They use it for their own benefit, superficially, you know. They use for their own benefit, because the Calvinists use this for their benefits to prove one way. The Arminians use it for their benefits to prove the other way. But he said to use something superficially, we come up with a superficial answer, which means it's not of God. All right, so that's the best way of me getting to it, of bringing what I want to bring. So I'm not going to worry about Arminians, in which they mean this, and Calvinists, they mean that. I just want to do and just get started. All right, turn over to 266, about the middle paragraph where it says the possibilities. All right. The possibilities of a removal of a name from the records of God deserves more than a casual study. For up until now, most students have merely drawn a conclusion. Now, this is what most people think. That God places the name of those born again within the Lamb's Book of Life at the time of their rebirth. Now, that's what most people think. I was a Baptist, the brother said this morning, Brother Forster said he was a Baptist. Then he knows for certainty what I'm fixing to say is the truth. The old Baptists, not necessarily missionaries, etc., they were more different about it, but the old independent-style Baptists, you know, formal-style Baptists, they believed that the day you signed that card and you joined that church, that your name was written in heaven. And they valued that little card, and man, they carry that little card, and if you move to California, all you got to do is write back to Lula or anywhere, or it's down at Gillsville, it's a Baptist church, and they'd say, Brother so-and-so has asked a request to be able to move his membership. Well, they send this little card. Brother so-and-so is in good standing, you know. But now they also had it on there, too. I never did understand how they had it on there and thought it was written in heaven. But they had it on there that Brother so-and-so ain't in too good a standing. Now, they told those things. I remember reading about one fellow in the Baptist church one time, and he was voted in and out of the church 20 times. So I guess his record had a lot to go on it, but, you know. But they believe that your name is written, see? And a lot of people believe that the day you get born again, your name is written. Right? Now, that's what we want to deal with, see? The possibility of the removal of a name from the records of God deserves more than a casual study. For up until now, most students have merely drawn a conclusion that God places the names of those born again within the Lamb's Book of Life at the time of their rebirth. Now watch. And if for any reason that name must be removed, the space on the record will simply be a blank as it was before the name had been placed there. This is 100% opposite to what the Word actually teaches. Now, when something's 100% opposite, you know what it is. All right. Now watch. At the very start of our study, let it be known that there is not one scripture that teaches. Now, not one scripture that teaches that God is presently compiling a record of names. This was all done before the foundation of the world, as we will point out shortly. Also, it is not a question of simply involving ourselves with two groups of people, both of whom had opportunity to receive eternal life, wherein one group received it and had their names placed on record, while the others who refused it did not have their names so placed. We will actually show by Scripture that multitudes who were not even born again will go into eternal life. As strange as it may sound, it is certainly true. We will also show that there is a group of people whose names have been placed on that record before the foundation of the world, cannot under any circumstances have their names removed. Now watch him. But we'll also show that another group whose names were on that record before the foundation of the world will have their names removed. All right. So now that's three classes if you count it and keep up with it. If you'll turn over to I'll try to get these and show you exactly where it's at, but that only covers three classes. Turn over to page 279. Now, I've asked you to read the whole thing, so I'm asking you we're just reading something that'll stir you into seeing what the prophet is saying and all the rest. He's proven his point. If you'd like it, I got the scriptures written down. I can show you the things. You ought to know them, like Moses saying, blot my name out of thy book. Exodus 32, I think 32, and then goes on down. God says, I'll blot out who I'll blot out. So it's in the Bible to blotting out of names. The children of Israel's names were written out, and look how close the Bible is. The children of Israel, of Dan and Ephraim, when they went after the golden calves, I ask you to read it. It's right in the book. The prophet gives you the exact scriptures. He gives you everything about it. Dan and Ephraim went after the golden calves, remember? They made the calves out of gold and were going to go back and say, these are our gods. And God took their name out unto heaven. It didn't say out of heaven, unto heaven. In other words, while he's down here. So your prophet covered it to the detail, and that was so wonderful the first time I read it, to see and realize that, hey, the Bible I read was right. Because I could read there where he said, you know, under heaven. I thought, well, why does it say under heaven? Why did it say in heaven? But I'd read about before where Jesus said, rejoice not that your name is, I mean, you know, the devil is subject, but your name is written in heaven. All right? Well, see, it's wonderful to read to find out that when Dan and Ephraim went after the golden calves, their names were removed from the record of Israel. It was removed from the record of Israel, taken out, and Joseph and Levi had to be put in to make it back to the 12, which originally should have been 13 tribes. With Dan and Ephraim left in, and Joseph, I mean, with the Levites to be the middle. But when Dan and Ephraim went after the golden calves, God had to take their name out under heaven. But when you come back into that future over there in the millennium,
Dan and Ephraim is right back in. That's wonderful that God would be so just, because they went after idolatry in building the golden calves. You remember reading that? If you didn't, make sure you read the book. When they went out of those golden calves, they went into idolatry. And God won't have it in idolatry. So when He did, He took their names out while they were on earth. But when the millennial reign comes back, you find Dan and Ephraim put right back in. You find it back in perfect order then, that your Levite will be in the center. But He had to put Joseph and them in to make it turn out to be the 12. See, keep it in the correct order. All right, but let's cover these four classes now. All these people had their names in the book of life. The next to the last paragraph on page 279, where it starts off, all these people had their names in the book of life, and their names remained. But whose names did not remain? Those of the world church system churches who fought the bride will be those whose names are removed. This is who will lose out. They will be cast into the lake of fire. Now let us go another step. But before we do, let us review our case thus far. First, class number one now. Sections of the book, see. First of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in Himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto Himself that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in Him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by His blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But indeed she shall be with Him in His throne of judgment, judging the world and even angels. Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. All right, there's group one, or section one, class one. Now, not meaning that there was people you wouldn't literally save before the world. That's in God's mind, that God before the foundation of the world looked down through and knew what would take place. And He knew you'd want eternal life, so He had it prepared for you and wrote your name down. Now, that's the first section. Now, He says, secondly, there is another class. Their names are also in the book of life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Now remember, we come up in the first resurrection. Remember the book of Revelation? Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no part. You better be in the first resurrection. I don't want to be in the second one, because that's the going to the judgment seat. First resurrection is in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I want to be found not having mine own righteousness, but I want to be found in the faith of God. And I want an out resurrection, a resurrection from among the dead. He wanted to be out of what was dead around him and be in Jesus Christ. There's your first resurrection. You've already had a first resurrection if you have the new birth today. The new birth is your resurrection that's inside of you. There is not a resurrection to come. The resurrection's in you, which is Jesus Christ in you by the new birth. We're just waiting for the time or whatever it has to happen to bring it into the condition to bring the body where that there will be a resurrection of the dead and a rapture. All right. So now watch. Secondly, there is another class. Their names are also in the book of life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous as are spoken of in Matthew 25. Now, if you went over there, you got to Matthew 25, you remember? And then when you get over there, you'll find sheep as sheep and goats. Doesn't say they're sheep and goats. It says as. Foolish virgin is as sheep. They're not sheep because they don't have the new birth. Right? Foolish virgin don't have the new birth. All right. Now watch him. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous, as are spoken in Matthew 25. In this class also are those who do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. But they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. Okay, number two. Now thirdly, there are the borderline Christians, such as we saw in Israel coming out of Egypt. And if you remember when Israel coming out of Egypt, who'd they have trouble with? It was called back there in the Old Testament called the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude meant there was other people out there trying to come in as proselytes. And they got Israel all messed up. Brother Branham said there he was looking around and said them Israelis looking around and said them men seeing them pretty Moabite women. And that's what messed them up. Because you look over at them Israeli women that was out there in that deserts and doing all the things, and I'll try to illustrate it without being nasty, I mean carnal, but we was out in Colorado, Brother Dink, can remember, and we were kidding this man about, this brother that was with us, we was kidding him about, because he was not married, you know, and anything. And we were kidding him about, reckon he wanted to find him a wife while he was out there in Colorado, back in those mountains, you know. And he said, I don't think so. Because that girl, now she couldn't help it, but that girl behind the counter was, you know, fairly young. She was an old lady. She was fairly young. And her face looked like leather where she'd stayed out there in that cold weather so long, you know. And he was wanting to come back to Georgia to find some smooth-faced women, you know. So that's probably what the children of Israel were doing. They were out there in the deserts. They were not sun, you know, and everything, but the Moabites under the shades and all, you know. That's where they got messed up. All right, go on now. Just try to shake you a little. Thirdly, there are the borderline Christians, such as we saw in Israel coming out of Egypt. These had their names in the book of life and their works written in the books. These, having failed to obey God and be devoid of the Spirit, though even the signs and wonders were amongst them, will have their names removed from the book of life. Amongst this group will be the ones like Judas, who, though entirely void of the Spirit, but are religious, will have manifestation in their lives. Now you think about anointed ones, see. And though on the books were not the elect in him, such also as Balaam will be in that group. Now remember, Balaam was a prophet. I mean, he was a prophet, listed with the prophet. But he proved what he was when he stood against the Word. He was doing fine until he faced Elijah. But when he got showed up by the Word, he wouldn't take correction. All right. Now watch. Fourth now. Because that's your four classes or four section. Fourth and finally are the ones whose names have never been or will ever be written on the books. Such are found in Revelation 13:8 and Revelation 17:8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Jesus said that a certain group would not accept one who came in his own, listen, Jesus said that a certain group would accept one who came in his own name. You remember? That one is the Antichrist. All right? And that is exactly what it says of them in Revelation 13:8 and 17:8. They were ordained of God, but not unto election. And with this group is such that are as Pharaoh, it says of him, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, Romans 9:17-22, none of these would be placed on the records of life. I am not saying that there is no record of them. No doubt there is some kind of a record of them, but not in the records of life. See, that's why when you go to the white throne, you find books. You got the records of natural life. You read the Bible, you got the natural life that's going on. Their purpose of existence has been dealt with slightly in the rest of this book, but we will can add two more scriptures. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made the wicked for the day of evil. Job 21:30, the wicked is reserved for the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth in the day of wrath. All right. Now, let me say this right there. The prophet's not saying, and the Bible's not saying, that God made people where he could destroy them. That's what it sounds like. But just remember, he gave them an opportunity. And when he gave them an opportunity, then he has a right of destruction. He gave Pharaoh an opportunity when Moses went down. Pharaoh turned it down. He could have been right in the group. But no, he turned it down. And see, that's what most people do. They turn down, you know, the things. All right, now that lists the four classes of cases. All right, there's one more. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, turn over to 282. All right, now these won't be, the other was 1, 2, 3, 4. Exactly right. Now we like to read these like 1 and 3 and 4 and 2. But it's the same reading. All right. Right about the middle of the paragraph, of the big long paragraph, 282, to save reading. You read all the other. But where it's got the little bitty letters, you know, little, or what you call it, smaller letters. See, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Thus, if God has so designed that there be those whose names are placed in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life and cannot be erased, for they are the names of the bride, then we must accept that. If it also states that there are those whose names were placed in the record of life, like Judas and that, but in the foreknowledge of God, they were to fall and have their names removed, we must accept that. And if there are those whose names were never placed upon a record of life, we must accept that also. And if there are those who will enter into life eternal after the white throne judgment, solely on the grounds of being good and kind and just to the elect of God, who are his brethren, then we cannot but accept that. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? Rather let us be subject in faith to him who is our Father and lives. So now he covers four groups of people. Four groups of people in different sections. Now, like I said this morning, I want to keep bringing that back to you. You read all in before and the afters and in between of what I ask you to read. You'll get a whole lot more than what I've got time to cover. But I've tried my best to get you to see throughout this whole series of the one thing that God is trying to get you to see who you are. The Bible shows the four groups of people. It shows there is a group of people whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, the bride of Christ, that when she comes here and accepts eternal life, then she comes to the condition of finding out that her name was in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world. Not that she just comes into the message and said, I believe the message. You got a lot of devils in the message claiming that today, and I don't mean that wrong, I just try to be straight. You got a lot of people that are just like Judas and the different ones who've come in for the money. Balaam, wasn't that his problem? See? Come into the message for the money. Because the preachers, they get into this message and they find out Brother Branham preached that the tithe goes to the minister. And amen, it does. The tithe goes to the Levite. Amen, it does. He's right. But when I get it, what am I going to do with it? What's the preacher going to do? Well, I'm going to just live from luxuries. I'm going to have me a good time. I'm going to have me two brand new Cadillacs and a big fine home and a houseboat. And man, I'm going to have me everything I want because it's my money. then he'll give an account for what he does with that. Because the steward, remember, is going to give an account about what he does. All right. So that's why you see me driving a 2003 Trailblazer. Thank God for it. In a 2004 truck, thank God for it. Living in a home that's a double-wide trailer, been totally remodeled, that you can't look at it and find a trailer, but thank God for it. Wear what clothes I want to wear and go do what I want to do, thank God for it. But then turn around and only take so much money a week, put the rest of it back in the treasury of the church, and we send it to the missionaries. And we've helped build churches, we've helped build homes, we've helped build all kind of things around the countries with it. Because that's what I want to do. I don't tell every preacher he's got to do like I do. But that's me. Because when I get there, I ain't going to have a dime in my pocket I'm going to be held accountable for. I know what the truth is, sure. But most people want the money because that's Balaam. Yes, but Brother Dale, you're supposed to take the tithe. I've been told that. I said, but what I do with it, it's my business. So if I want to put it back in the missionary work, then I put it back in the missionary work. Thank God for it. That way we have a comfortable, reasonable, comfortable church. At least we're not burning up and we're not freezing in the winter. And we got pews we can sit in. But we don't have a multi-million dollar church that we've got to burden you to make you pay. And ain't nothing wrong with having a big new church if you can afford it. Nothing in the world. We've talked about busting out here and doing things, but today it's done, it'll be paid for. It won't be burdening you for it. You ain't never put up your home, nor your car, nor nothing to buy anything around here, and you know that. If there's anything I've ever put up, it's been mine. And that's not throwing off on you. That's just telling you, I'm not going to burden you and me live on high on the hog. Most of you make more every year than I make. And you know that's true. And most of you probably got more in the bank than I've got. And that's no problem. I'm just telling you that the Balaams gets in and they're riding this message to their own benefit, but they'll get their reward. They'll have to give an account. They'll get their rewards. The Judas is in this message. They would turn you in a heartbeat. They'll get their rewards. But see, I'm trying to get you to see who you are. I want to be in the section that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But to do that, I must be born again. Because me being born again proved it. Judas's name was written in heaven, but that didn't put him in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he was in the Book of Life. The section called the Book of Life, he was in there. And at the White Throne Judgment, he'll be judged. I tell you what struck me here a while back was something. You ever heard the prophet, I'll be glad to find you? He said, God doesn't judge no man yet. He said he'll have to come to the White Throne and be judged. All right. I'm not different with him about it because he's the one that brought the message because he knowed it and he quoted it a lot. You know that the devil and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire before the people at the White Throne Judgment according to the Bible. You know that the devil's not a man. The devil doesn't have a soul as a human being. So no wonder he's just a bluff. He don't have no power except what God permits. And like Brother Gary likes for me to say, we give him what he has over us. We let him have the power over us. Stand up to him, bluff him if nothing else. When I was a kid, man, I couldn't stand it. I'd see people, somebody would say something, they'd turn around and run. I thought, man, I'll run second. First, I bluff. And you know what? I never had no trouble. Because like one fella said, I'd tackle him if he wasn't so big. Well, I'm glad I was big. I had no trouble with him. Because he could whoop me. I figured he could, but he's going to have to catch me. But you see, Satan's a bluff. The Bible says, is this the man? It's Isaiah 14. Is this the man, you know, laying along the side of the road that everybody's been scared of? You don't need to be scared of the devil, just blew him back. The devil can't do nothing with you if you're a born-again believer unless God allowed him to do that. So if there's something on you that's happened, God allowed it to happen for some reason for you. Not for me now, but for you. When he starts trying to give you something, just give it back to him. But if you yield yourself to him, why be afraid of him? That's Robbie back there. What's the worst crook you got problem with? Somebody's so scared. Guy standing looking at you with a gun. He ain't nothing like as much to fear as the fella that's standing over there shaking like a... Because that guy's going to hurt you. The other fella might shoot you, but you got an opportunity. The other guy... Just don't be afraid of the devil. I don't know why I'm getting onto that, but don't be afraid of him. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and God is trying to show you who you are, and we see that the Bible is the book of life that gives us all of the sections, and the four classes of people there. Like I was saying about Israel, that even the word is so correct that he blotted their names of Dan and Ephraim out under heaven. Not in heaven. Think about that foolish virgin. Because they've been foolish virgins in every church age. Huh? And that foolish virgin, her name was written in the book of life coming to a religious order. Not everybody goes to church now. But everybody that comes to that religious order of the day that would make them a foolish virgin, they'll be given eternal life. They will be given eternal life one day. But what about those that have thought all of their life? Have not I cast out devils? Is that what Jesus said they'll come to? Have not I cast out devils and done mighty works? What did he say? Depart from me. I never knew you. Now that didn't mean God didn't know anything about them and all their works. No. He never knew them. They never had a personal relationship of salvation with him. So they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Preachers that have preached and seen other people saved or things, healed and delivered. But because that they reject the truth, their name will be taken out of the book. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible said, which is the second death? You know, we talk about hell being hot. Evidently, the lake of fire must be worse than hell because hell, death and hell, my Bible says, are both cast into the lake of fire. Is that what yours said? So the lake of fire must be bad because that's the last thing. The lake of fire is the death of the soul. That's why thank God that hell's not eternal. We don't believe in it. But you could burn for billions and billions and billions and trillions of years, but one day you'd become extinct. That's grace, whether you believe it or not, because there's no rules or regulations in God. It's all in grace. But just think about that foolish virgin that does not have eternal life, but she's part of a religious order or group of people. Brother Branham even listed Gamaliel and Nicodemus in that, what I asked you to read. He said they would be with the group of the foolish virgin, could be given eternal life because, see, Gamaliel stuck up for the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus did, you know. And by doing that, their names, the prophet said, remained in the book of life. But he said, one day at the white throne, their names is going to be, and we went through the invisible union where the prophet said, your name is transferred. So one day, that foolish virgin group of people, those that just cup of water in my name, the Bible has said, not be forgotten in this world or the world to come. Not done because you think it will deserve you something, done because of... You remember the story here, 1971, we had to go out this way, and we just had parking in the front. All of this was just a jungle back here of privy. Remember how you say it, or privet, of hedge. One of them means bathroom, the other's hedge, but I can't help it, my language is no good. But listen, there was a man came out here, was the mayor of this city. He knew Brother Moat, they were friends. But he came out here and he said, Mr. Moat, said, your kids are going to get hurt because the car that came down through here the first day, the first service we had, there was five cars sitting out here and a man run into all five of them. Tore up five cars. People got so scared of us coming to church, they'd go up here and park down the side alleys and walk down. They wouldn't even park out in front. Because they was afraid the devil would send somebody else down. Guy was running 85 mile an hour off the side of the highway because a man was trying to stop him. He stopped and told us about it. Big old Cadillac. Last thing he done, he hit mine and knocked it back into Robert Holland. You can hear him on tape going, whoa! He was still trying to go. But listen, that old man, he come out here and he said, if y'all let us, said, we'll clean off back there. We didn't own the place. We were just renting. If y'all let us, said, we'll clean off back there where y'all can park. Brother Moat said, well, if you will, said, we'll pay for the gravel and things, try to make parking in the back. They came out here and cleared it off, used the city equipment, cleaned off back in the back, made it where we could get parking, we could drive down in. You know, I believe it was about a month later, the man died. I told Brother Moat, I said, wouldn't it be something maybe to see him one day? Maybe he might be standing at the white throne. Maybe he might be looking at you and me. But I said, won't it be something that God could say, you remember how he helped you? Because that's the cup of water in my name. All right? Now, that man maybe didn't have all of the religious orders we call to get his name in the book, but some way, something happened. And it'll be there. All right? Let me read the last if I can find it. What I'm trying to find is something that... Yeah. Turn over to page 285. Let me end this up with this thought. Because you read the message, you look at it, and Brother Branham is the only man, nobody, no religious theologians or anything could do what Brother Branham done. Read it real careful when you get in our reading about the one wheat plant. And he took it through the one wheat plant and showed you the true and false. And you've got to be so careful because what? When those two little shoots came up, that was the true. But when the next stage came up above there, the stalk, them little shoots was dyed, become false. Stalk was green. Then come out the leaves, the tassel and the things. Stalk began to dry up. Why? Stalk was dying. Then the ear come in. No need of the tassel anymore. Shucks drying up. One wheat plant, one grain of corn, one corn coming up. Covered true and false vine. Ain't no theologian can cover that. Because you've got to be careful there, because if you make that, if you say them two little shoots ain't nothing, you are a liar. Because they was the bride of that time. But when they denominated, they died. The Lutheran was the word of God in their day, the Protestant and the Catholic Church, and God was pleased to dwell there. But the day they denominated, they died. The Wesleyans come along, and they were the message of God. But the day they denominated, they died. The Baptists come along, they were the people of God, the move of God. The Presbyterian, all them were the move. But when they denominated, they died. Listen, so is it in the end time that when you come forth with a people claiming to be back to the wheat again, Brother Branham talking about the gifts and the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street. He said, and they cabbage down on it. They dried up and died, become denominational systems and died. But you and I can sit right here today and be a one-man denomination and dry up and die. So we better get to moving. But let's read something nice here and we'll finish. Now remember, he said there is no such thing back over here. Listen now. You say one thing Brother Brown says, you make it say what you want to. You say another thing Brother Brown says, you make him say what you want to. But when you put them both together, it's what he said. Now he said there was no such thing as a compiling of names, that it was done before the foundation of the world. Now he's talking about the Lamb's Book of Life, right? Then your name goes on the record of a believer when you come here in a natural life. Coming to sanctification, your name is written as a believer. But one day you find out your name always was, because that new birth reveals Christ to you. But what about this foolish virgin group? This foolish virgin group of people, their names were written in heaven and won't be removed. But at the white throne judgment, they get eternal life, right? Come on, because they don't go into eternity without eternal life. So the foolish virgin will get eternal life at the white throne. Now what about their name? Let's read what your prophet said. Page 285, Church Age Book, last paragraph. In concluding this subject for the time, let me refer to a statement made at the beginning, wherein I said that not one scripture spoke of the Lord presently compiling a record of names. That is indeed so. However, there is a scripture pointing to a future compilation. Now listen at him. However, there is a scripture pointing to a future compilation. It is in the 87th Psalm. This Psalm speaks of the Lord writing up the names of all those born in Zion. See, we thought that was bride. No, watch him. On no account can it be presumed that God has to wait until the end of ages or that period of time dealing with Zion in order to know who all might be born in Zion. Again, that would preclude omniscience. Surely he knows all who comprise that number. But what is it? Is it not simply the revised roll wherein God simply places in a new record those names which remained after the second resurrection and present to Zion? Surely that is it. I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Roll call in heaven. Even the foolish virgin. There'll be a future compiling of names. Now you go back to the invisible union where he said, your name is transferred. And you think about it. That foolish virgin will be given eternal life at the white throne judgment. And when she does, her name will be placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the Bible will no longer have the record of Judas and Pharaoh and things in it. Because that's only while you're in earthly journey do you read about the natural things. It's just like into our own personal day. We read of the prophet in the end time. But what about where it says in back the when it says that they stood before the water gate and read the word? You remember that in the scripture? Be glad to show it to you. They stood before the water gate and the word. Go back and check when Brother Brown's message started coming forth before Watergate with Nixon ever took place. Natural things. Read Isaiah where it talks about when the towers fall. The ones in New York. The towers fell. It said, in that time, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. You know, right now, the light of the moon is not the light of the sun in the natural. But in the spiritual, there comes a time that the bride of Christ will be as the light of the sun. But the light of the sun shall be sevenfold. We're in the end time. A future compiling of names can take place, because that's when the foolish virgins and those given eternal life will be placed right into the Lamb's Book of Life. And no longer will be called the Book of the Living, and no longer will be even called the Book of Life. It will be called then the Lamb's Book of Life. Because all natural will be destroyed with the fire. All the records, because the Bible says the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. There's a lot in it, isn't there? Four classes of people. One class receives eternal life, and their name was always written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Another group have their names written in the Book of Life because of receiving a religious order or being foolish virgins. Another section of your Bible covers how Judas and what he done and how he'll be taken out and was taken out of the Book of Life. But remember, his name was never in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, the White Throne Judgment always lists the Book of Life being at the White Throne. Not the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is sitting up on the throne. See, then there'll be a group of people that their names were never written nowhere. And Daniel in Revelation covers their books. It's kept up with their records. But you know, it's not going to be the sinner that comes to judgment. You think about it. Come on, Brother Boyd. It's not going to be the sinner at judgment that walks down through there and he walks up there so proud and boastful. You know, boy, when I get there, I'm going to plead my case. The sinner knows who he is and what he is. And he'll walk right up through there with his head bowed. He'll never look up. He'll never even look to see who's judging or what's taking place. He'll just walk right down. But the Bible says they'll come to me in that day and say, "Have not I cast out devils, done mighty wonderful works?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What about a day? What side are we going to be on? Which section of the book are we in? At least we ought to be able to say today, I have at least seen my name in the Book of Life. Because I realize the religious order of the day I'm in and I'm trying to follow it. Lord, now, some way, reveal to me how to get it transferred. Get it to where I can understand it's always been there. Let me see eternal life. Let me have a possession of it. The four classes, four groups of people. Which group are we in? Because surely of one thing, we're in one of those four. It's our choice, which one? Go ahead, brother. Let's stand. 398 in the spiral book. Amen. He did not owe iota debt that could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin. Anybody have a need? Where's your name at? Where's your name? Is it still in just the books of records? Have you become in a part of a religious order to realize your name is in the Book of Life? But you want to make sure it's not never taken off. Oh, Brother Dale, I don't believe in works. I do. I believe works is faith expressed. I don't believe in works of salvation, but I believe in works following salvation. I want to make sure and know my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the born-again believer. Eternally won't it be glory. Anybody have any? On that day, and then we'll sing a brand new song, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the never.
Think about that last one now, what you're saying.
One day he's coming back for me to live with him. Eternally, won't it be glory? See, where's your name written? You want to go to glory with mom and daddy? Don't ever believe, children, that you're going to glory just because mom and daddy's going. If that's what you believe, you're already at the age of accountability because you're accountable to doing it. Because you're saying, I'm going with mom and daddy. No. You want to go with mom and daddy? Get the same Holy Ghost mom and daddy's got. Get the same new birth mom and daddy got. And you're not depending on somebody else. He will be your Savior. I could never pay. He paid a debt that Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song. What is it? Sing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Amen. Just think about it. Think of the fact that if you would be standing as a prophet gave the illustration one time in court guilty of a crime and owing so much money. And no way you could pay it. But all at once, Big Brother steps up and he says, I'll pay the debt. Everything's done, isn't it? You're happy then, isn't it?
Many blessings undeserved. That's what we are. We ought to thank him. Love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Sing it again unto him. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow.
Why? What did he do for us? What are we?
I'm a new creation.
Are you?
I'm a brand new man.
We'll pray with you, but let's put a prayer cloud with it, all right? Father, our sister's got some decisions she's got to make. She wants the right one, and so do we. That's why we give her a prayer cloth as a contact between us, that it will be the Spirit of the living God that will lead her and guide her. And Lord, as she moves, help her not to move too fast, because sometimes we make the wrong decisions when we do, but to move slowly and make decisions according to, Lord, what you want. And just have your way. We love you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just believe and see. Huh? Amen. Anybody else?
Deserving.
Is that what it is?
This is Ruby.
Father, you heard our brother. Then tomorrow let all things be well. The job and all, let everything be for your honor and glory. We believe you. And we thank you, Father. And your name is Jesus. Serving, that's what we are. Anybody else? Love and praise Him a little more today. Who are we? Ain't God good? We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Shake hands with one another on the way and sing it to them. Ain't God good? You're dismissed. Many blessings undeserved.